It's time for the food maven, the food guy, the food
Here
man,
I am.
Favorite, Arthur Schwartz. It's almost the holidays.
What do you mean, almost the holidays?
Well, it's right upon us.
Oh, it's here.
It's close. It's here.
If you intend to make salt cod for Christmas Eve, a tradition among
you're
some,
late.
You better be soaking it right now. That's all. That's how close we are.
Okay. That's almost.
So, I want to dispel a myth right off the top here, because this is the season I'm obnoxiously hearing constantly that Christmas Eve for Italians is the feast of the seven fishes. I don't know any Italian, meaning a person from Italy, who ever heard of this. It is strictly Italian American, and I, by the way, the Italians that I do know who have heard of it always will tell you, "Oh, it's an American thing."
Right.
Well, and it is an American thing. Now, you can better than I, Jill, can explain the number seven, but it is a mystical, magical number. The Trinity, plus the four corners of the earth. I mean, I can give a lot of examples. Seven deadly sins. What else is there? Seven virtues there are. Seven acts of mercy. Seven comes up a lot in Judeo-Christian culture. I don't know about other cultures.
Here's where it came from in creation, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Seven is the representation of completion, perfection, and holiness.
There you go.
So it's God's number. Basically.
There you go. It's God's number. So hence the very Catholic Italian Americans created this feast. But it is based on something real Italian, which is to say, everybody I know in the south of Italy, even in Rome, partakes of what's called La Vigilia, the vigil, which is waiting for Jesus to be born on Christmas Day. Now, if you're a Catholic, you're not supposed to be eating meat on that day, not until after midnight. I do know somebody who plans their dinner so that the last course is served after midnight, and it could be a meat course. However, let me say, you're supposed to go to church at midnight. You're not supposed to eat. So you do have a fish meal. In honor of this, tradition of not eating meat on Christmas Eve. And it can be an endless number of fish meal, fish dishes, or it could just be a couple. Now, the one that I am going to make, actually, is spaghetti with anchovies and walnuts. Now, I'm going to use something instead of the anchovies, I'm going to use something called collatura. Collatura in around the Amalfi Coast and in Naples, Salerno, around that Tyrrhenian Sea coast, use collatura. Now, let me explain collatura. When I wrote Naples at Table, it was published in 1998. There is no mention of collatura in that book because in 1998, collatura was strictly a local thing. Nobody in America ever heard of it. There was no place to buy it. I used to buy a little bottle of it in the town where it's made, Cetara, spelled C-E-T-A-R-A. It's a small fishing town just south of Salerno, and before you get to the first main town of the Amalfi Coast, which is Amalfi itself. There are other little towns, Minori, Maiori, and Cetara is a fishing village. It only has a population of a few thousand, but it does have two important companies for making collatura, Nettuno, and now, of course, Delfino. If you see those, and you can buy those in a store now in the U.S. So flash forward, 1998, Naples at Table was published, no mention of Colatura. In 2009, when Southern Italian Table was published, my second Italian cookbook, both, by the way, available digitally, and I don't know why, but all of a sudden Naples at Table is selling digitally. Anyway, in that book, in 2009, which, after all, is how many years ago, 15 years ago, I have a small essay on Colatura, not as detailed as I could do it now, or would do it now, but there is a half-page essay on Colatura, and I do mention this dish of walnuts with Colatura, because it is a traditional Christmas Eve dish around Amalfi, around on the Amalfi coast in Salerno. I mean, nowadays, Colatura is widely available in Italy and somewhat available in the U.S. Certainly, you can order it online. I looked online this morning, actually, to see that you can buy it. I didn't look at the amounts, but certainly you can buy it for $10. You can buy it for $25. It is a precious thing. I wouldn't trust cheap Colatura, because there is, now that it's become trendy, in New York in any case, you will find it on menus in restaurants, because the chefs found out about it. And it's, by the way, a very economical ingredient, as expensive as it might be, because you don't need more than a few drops, literally. Like, you could use a dropper, if you wanted, to measure it out. You only need a few drops per dish. If you're making a bowl of spaghetti, I would use, first of all, it's not just the Colatura, it's the walnuts, or instead of Colatura, anchovies. But basically, this is some version of aglio olio, oil and garlic. So you start by gently cooking garlic. If you want it chopped, great. If you want it sliced, that's fine too. But you do want actual garlic in this dish, not just the scent of garlic. And cook that just a few, not even a few minutes, a minute, in some really good extra virgin olive oil, and then put in your anchovies. You're not going to have Colatura hanging around the house right now. So here's the version with anchovies. I would say for 3 tablespoons of oil, you're going to use about 4 anchovies out of the jar, an oil jar, and cook them with the garlic and maybe a big pinch of hot pepper flakes or a hot pepper itself until... Just for a few minutes. Then you can add your... what will happen is the anchovies will start disintegrating. And then add your walnuts and toast them in the oil. And that's it. Mix in your spaghetti. Now, if you want it to be a little wet, you can take your al dente spaghetti, put it in the pan with the anchovies and oil and walnuts, and add some pasta cooking water and finish the cooking of the pasta along with those seasonings. It's really good, especially if you like anchovies. I shouldn't say especially. If you like anchovies, it's really good. Now, I, for many, many years, used to buy salt anchovies, meaning they're whole anchovies, just beheaded and degutted, packed in salt, and dry salt, and dry anchovies. But they're hard to find. You can buy them online. But back to Colatura, it is, in fact, the byproduct of salting anchovies. In this case, the Colatura case, anchovies, which are harvested from the spring through late summer, are preserved in barrels. Originally, these were made out of certain woods. You ask a family, and they would tell you a different story about which wood it was, so I'm not even going to get into that.
We're not going there.
So, yeah. So it used to be a family thing. You know, you got your anchovies in the middle of the summer or early fall.
Right.
You layered them in a barrel with salt, and, of course, there's a lot of juiciness to these anchovies, so they exude their juices. And colatura is a form of the verb colare, which means to drip. And in the old days, I mean old days, because this is related, by the way, to the garum of ancient Rome, which were fermented anchovy sauce, like the Thai anchovy sauce. Now, I've read a lot about colatura, and in fact, some people say you can substitute colatura with Thai fish sauce. I wouldn't. I'd rather use anchovies themselves.
Is that the fish sauce much sweeter? Or has it just become that way?
To me, it tastes like Thai. It doesn't taste Neapolitan. Or Cetarese. Speaking of Cetara. By the way, if anybody listening is going to the Amalfi Coast, you definitely, there's only one way to get to Positano, and that's by car or bus. But most people do not take the bus. But you have to hire a car in Salerno to take you to Positano, or you have to drive a car. And if you're going south on the Amalfi Coast, you have to stop at Cetara. It's the town right after Vietri sul Mare, which is the pottery town at the top of the coast. And then you have this fishing village. And to say, I don't know what's there now. I haven't been in, I don't know. It's a long time, 10 years maybe. And I hear things have become more commercial. But there used to be, and maybe still is, a grocer in Cetara that I used to buy my tuna fish from. You don't laugh. This was the best tuna fish ever in my life. And Cetara is essentially a tuna fishing town. That's the business of Cetara. It's only now the anchovies and colatura are a big, big business. But, until literally 10 years ago, there was no business for colatura. So tuna, I used to buy it in this grocery, and the grocer for years told me that he jarred it himself, and that's why it was so good. Well, I found out the truth, which was that he had a family, Tunisian Jewish family, in Salerno that used to put the tuna up in jars for him. And they also used very good olive oil for the tuna. So and they only packed it in these big jars. And, tuna in oil lasts for quite a long time. Once it's open, you put it in the fridge. So I used to buy this and bring it home, and on the plane, in my packed luggage, because after a couple of years of doing this, they stopped allowing you to put it in your handbags. Anyway, Cetara is now famous more, I think, for colatura and anchovies, courtesy of these two companies, Nettuno. And is it Delfino or Delfino? I never remember the final vowel. And you can buy it online. Go online. So that's one and a key dish of the Christmas Eve vigil. The other one is spaghetti and clam sauce. Now, I have people in my life who don't eat clam sauce. So I started fussing with it. And to see if I could make it with something other than, it's garlic and oil and parsley, a little bit of hot pepper, if you like. Most Neapolitans, meaning from the city of Naples, not necessarily in Salerno or wherever, Avellino, no, they don't do this. But in Naples, I have friends who always put a few cherry tomatoes. It's not a red sauce, but even in their white clam sauce, they'll cut up a few cherry tomatoes and throw that in because they say it adds, an undescribable flavor, which we now describe as umami. Tomatoes have a lot of umami. But anyway, I've also made the same dish with fish. You could call it the kosher version of clam sauce. I use cod, and I cook it. First of all, I saute a lot of garlic, in some good olive oil. Very, very gently for just literally a minute. And then I put in my raw fish, slabs of cod. If you want to cut it into cubes, you can, because in the end you want it to flake and mingle with your spaghetti. And then cook it until it's just done. Throw in a handful of parsley if you wanted. You could have added a hot pepper to the oil with the garlic. And then your spaghetti. And it's delicious. It's not clams. It's fish. It's cod. But it does a similar job. Anyway, that's definitely one of the dishes for Christmas Eve. Another one is some kind of salt cod. You like salt cod?
Yes.
Good. It's not everybody does.
No.
And I would serve them salt cod. I would serve people salt cod and not tell them what it is. And then they'll say, oh, this is so good, and they'll say, it's salt cod.
And I can speak for Marshall, by the way. I'm just going to bring him up here because anchovies, salt, that was just really not good news.
Not good news? No anchovies for Marshall?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think anchovies get a bad rap.
I do, too. I'm just speaking for myself. I'm just
because there are some really funky, bad anchovies out there. And I find that the ones from Morocco are a culprit, often not very good. And I find ones from South America are usually terrible. So I look for Sicilian anchovies, which I find, even out of a jar, are mild and not crazy salty, not crazy funky. Those are the anchovies, by the way, that I also buy packed in salt, not colatura. By the way, though, I used to buy big tins of salt anchovies. You know, well, maybe they were one-pound tins, but that's a lot of anchovies. And after a long while in the refrigerator, the anchovies would develop what I have to call colatura, meaning some red juices would come to the top. And I could put that on my pasta and be very happy. So I like anchovies when they're not funky. And most people say bad anchovy experiences with funky anchovies.
Yes.
That's sad but true. So salt cod, late in life, so to speak, I don't think this is any book I ever wrote, but in traveling around Calabria, which is one of my favorite regions, I discovered raw salt cod. You know, it's not traditional to eat it raw, but I found, you know, contemporary restaurants, for want of a better expression, did. So what you have to do is, of course, soak the cod. Now, to eat it raw, you don't want those flat, thin pieces of salt cod. You want to buy the thick fillet of salt cod, and you can buy that. By the way, if you buy salt cod in a box, like from Maine, this is excellent salt cod, that comes in those wooden boxes. I believe they still sell this Maine salt cod in wooden boxes. And it's likely to be in any New England supermarket. And that's excellent, usually very thick pieces of salt cod. So I like to do it in running water. Put it in a bowl. Well, first of all, rinse off the surface salt and get it started that way. And then put it in a bowl in the sink, covered with water, but with the faucet going in a thin stream, so that you're constantly replenishing the water. If you're not hanging around the kitchen to do that, don't worry. Just put it in cold water, and I would say after like 6 or 8 hours, refresh the water. And you know, if you do that I only do it for 2 days. Some people soak salt cod for 3 days. Now that I told you can eat it just as it is, after 2 days of soaking, slice off a thin, thin slice. And see if it's not too salty. I mean, basically, you're doing this just to remove the salt.
Right.
And you want a little salt. I find that a lot of people soak it so long.
Oversoak it. I mean,
they oversoak it.
You wonder
why bother?
No, you just wonder. Well, I would always wonder what the salty part was because I've always been a salt lover.
So anyway, I think 2 days is probably quite enough for most salt cod. You know, it depends on the salt cod, too.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just, you know, this past summer went to salt cod country. In Naples, they joke, but it ends up it's not a joke, that one town in Norway is responsible for all their salt cod. But in fact, Bergen, in Norway, is known as the salt cod capital. So that's what they were talking about. And there are other salt cod towns in Norway, meaning towns that are the number one export of Norway is fish. So, okay, suffice to say. So anyway, I love baked with potatoes salt cod, and I have a recipe for it in Naples at Table. That's how far back it goes with me, and it is a traditional vigil recipe. Let me look up my recipe here, but I know I have it. Here it is. So I love this so much that I remember, this is a really strong memory, I remember the day that I first made this.
Ooh,
I was home alone, and I ate the whole thing myself.
Don't you love that?
And this
wow,
calls
this is
for
really
a
good.
Pound
I
of...
made it. I can make it again. Meanwhile, I'm going to eat it.
No, I mean, the thing is, it was recipe testing. And, usually the first go-around, you don't want anybody else to eat
like
it.
The first thing, you're
forced to eat it because you made it.
Right.
But, this came out so good. I have made it, I don't know, dozens of times.
Tell us how
then.
Before we
And
run.
I have seen other
tell
people
us,
lately.
Tell us before we run out of time.
Well, yeah, I'm going to give you. So it's a pound of salt cod. You can soak it 24 to 36 hours, depends on the cod and how you want it. And then you need to cook the salt cod. So you're going to pack it into a casserole with pouring a little olive oil over it with garlic and parsley, and take a few tomatoes out of a can. It's hard to find small cans of plum tomatoes, but I like plum tomatoes for this. And crush them with your hand over the dish. Salt, pepper, top it with breadcrumbs and stick it in the oven. 350-degree oven, it should take, I don't know, a half hour. It's really good. But I like salt cod almost anyway. And one of my favorite ways, as I was saying earlier, is raw. You just slice it very thin. Dress it with good olive oil, lemon juice, and I like it with hot pepper. By the way, I dress a lot of things. Sometimes I see in the supermarket where I buy good fish, I see a little piece of tuna or a little piece of salmon, and I say, give me that to me, and it's less than a half a pound. Nobody's going to buy it. And I take it home, and that's what I dress it with. A lemon juice. Good olive oil, hot pepper, and of course, salt. So that could be my whole Christmas Eve dinner, since I'm Jewish.
Your Christmas Eve or Christmas?
Well, no, Christmas Eve.
Right, okay.
Christmas Day, I don't know. Yeah. Probably eat Chinese food. It's Christmas for a Jew.
This year, the people who usually, the group that usually eats Chinese food for Christmas is... probably going to be eating latkes, which we discussed last week. So
I don't know. Yeah, we did. We did latkes last week. I don't know if I'm making
no,
latkes.
We'll,
I still have the two potatoes from last week that I haven't made latkes with.
Oh,
but
really?
They're sitting here. They may get baked after all.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
We'll see what happens.
Well, anyway, Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas. Well,
Merry Hanukkah.
Merry Hanukkah. Chappy Chanukah.
Happy Hanukkah. And we're, all gearing up for 2025 now.
Well, we'll talk before then, so I can't. Talk to you next year, unless you're claiming.
And by the way, so
a day
seven is not a magic number for dishes for Christmas Eve.
I'm just saying that I've always known as seven as God's number, meaning completion.
No, I know it. Listen.
Because, you know,
it's also
on the seventh day you rest.
It plays a part in every aspect of our life.
Exactly.
Number seven.
So.
Yeah. So that's why it's seven fishes.
All right. I accept that.
Yeah,
here, we solve one of the mysteries of the universe. And with that?
With that. Again, merry everything, everyone.
Likewise. And loved Bob, and we'll talk to you before next year. Ha ha. This has been Arthur Schwartz of Food Maven on Robin Hood Radio.